everybody. Welcome to the house of Larry Lamont's, where you always get a double helping of justice and truth. Come on in, sheesh. We have special guests tonight, listening in at least. One is one of my favorite doctors. I just started having doctors again. I'm going and seeing them. As I tell you, you got to take care of self. And that's part of the doing and taking care of self. They say I'm doing fairly well, okay. But the doctor told me today, he said, did you ever do any work in radio? He said, you got the radio voice. You know, I've told you that before. So you see, that's another thing I didn't lie about. Sheesh. And I told him, I said, well, yeah, I've heard that several times, but never could get the job. If radio DJ host or television, but I am amply qualified for it, not just the voice, through education, through licenses. I got a FCC license for the good doctor to know that. I got a little learning, a little something myself, and the young intern I met and told him about it. He was telling me about his brother-in-law's podcast. I'm going to listen to that too. I'll let you know about that later on sometime. But we want you to have this information, and we hope that they enjoy the show tonight, that they dropped in or drop in later on. You're always welcome. You're going to get a double dose of justice and truth. We're going to lay it down, like lay the smack down, as they say. So I feel pretty good today. I'm going to let you know what's going on later on. The good say he may one day come on as a guest to talk to you, not only about my symptom, but what's going on, because different things happen in the medical world that you need to know some of the symptoms of and a treatment and how to look out for yourself. As I said, I was going to look out for me and stop looking out after everybody else and minding everybody else's business. So the primary point of tonight's show is we're dealing with the death of Jerry Springer. The last man standing, the last man in the room, turn out the lights. Hello. And so I want you to have this information and know, start thinking about it. And, you know, I tell you, I go with, not a coincidence, but signs. So I want to tell you a little bit about Friedrich Nietzsche. And yes, once again, my friends at Jeopardy had the clue about Friedrich Nietzsche tonight. All days, all occasions, it once again points to the fact that Mr. Larry is on the right track. We're going to get into some preliminaries, first of all. And of course, first of all, before the death of Brother Springer, it was the death of Brother Harry Belafonte. Since we last been on air, and we like to give up to the clips, old man. Hey-oh, daylight coming, me want to go home. Well, he's gone home. He's gone home in heaven to be with his loved ones. We hate to see him go, this young black entertainer who really came in and shook up the world. They call him a Calypso actor and singer. It showed that he was much more than that by the time he died. He was an all-around consummate entertainer and, of course, a civil rights advocate walking side by side with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Sheesh. Yes, sir. And we have to give our thoughts and prayers to the families of Fonte. And this was a man that lived a life. He didn't, make you think that, well, he's a good man. He showed you that he was a good man through his actions, not just through his words, but through his deeds. That's a little different than Brother Springer. And we're going to get into the meat and the potatoes of that, but we're going to talk a little bit more about preliminaries. The storms are hitting the country hard with hail the size of softballs, flooding in places that there are never flooding, levees breaking, all the things that Mr. Larry told you about. Lightning struck two brothers, both lived. Hurricanes, tornadoes, and some all at the same time. But we're not prepared. Even our homes that look strong and sturdy is flimsy. It can't stand up to Mother Nature. Just a little bit huffing and puffing, it blows your house down. Yes. So we give our prayers and thoughts all through the areas that's been affected by the terrible storms, and still getting the snow too. Snow, somebody came in the other day and said, I said, how's it? I said, it's snowing. I said, it's snowing? They're talking about it's going to snow probably sometime next week still. The climate has changed so drastically until it's not just the Arctic shelf that's affected and the glaciers melting, but it's all over the world there's effects of climate change. And I spoke to you before about cloud seeding. You know, I'm the only man, as far as I know, I'm the only man that said anything about cloud seeding for decades. And I said, why don't they seed the clouds and it rain? When I was in school, I remember reading about that and reading about it a little later on and haven't heard anything else about it. Well, they have done a special now on cloud seeding, and they showed that they are now back to cloud seeding to produce rain, the precipitation. Just like Mr. Larry said, you hear it first on this show. I like the good doctors to know, and if they go back and listen to some of the shows after advent of COVID, it was on this show that we predicted COVID. When they had the problem in Wuhan, China, with what they thought was a bad case of food poisoning for some bat soup from a wet market, I told you that it came from a laboratory leak. The first person in the world to state that. And we were right. We were 100% right. Now, the FBI and everybody else saying the same thing. It probably was a laboratory leak. So, I want the good doctors to know, you can say, I know the guy that predicted this. And I stated that there was going to be more of it because of the swine flu and the horse virus. And also the avian virus. That there was going to be problems, not only with COVID, but we're going to see diseases we thought that was eradicated, like polio and measles and mumps, back on the docket again. And that's exactly what's happened. They're smack dab in your face. Sheesh. I don't relish being right on things like that. I wish I was wrong. But I know I wasn't. Not ashamed for saying it. I was the only one saying it at the time. They're talking about last night about all the diseases that they thought was eradicated. We've been talking about that for months. That's why I say when you listen to the House of Larry DeMoss, you get a double helping of justice and truth. Sheesh. You might not want to hear it. It might hurt your feelings, but that's up to you. Me, I could always take a double dose of truth. I'd rather you tell me the truth about something than lie to me. And we're going to get into that with Brother Springer and others like him. Of course, Brother Springer passed away. Also, James Corden, who from Great Britain, left the Late Late Show last night. We're going to get into the goodbyes of Brother Gordon's show. You know, I didn't care too much for it. I felt there was a fix in when all these foreigners like him and Trevor Noah could come here and get jobs. That I told you probably should have went to the mods. Just like the good doctor says, you got a radio voice. I could have done just good as Trevor Noah, just as good as James, but they gave the jobs to those people. And I was wondering why James Corden always had a vice president from the company or the network sitting in his audience almost every show. I didn't notice him last night. I missed the first part of the show. I was getting up making something to eat or something, and it just snuck up on me the way that they did the show. What they should have had the show was back-to-back. What I felt that in order to do a show like that, I'm going to explain what I would have done. I would have took Stephen Colbert and had him interview James Corden. One host from CBS interviewing another host for CBS. And Colbert talked about maybe he's going to go too pretty soon. But they didn't do it that way. They did a little parody showing you what had went on before. That should have been kept for the sentimental time for the last show, which to me stunk. It missed everything. He more interested in showing that he could sing Broadway tunes. And I think that's what he wanted to do and what he loves to do. And maybe that's what he needs to do more of instead of hosts, because I never thought that he was a good host. Then they showed last night, they showed that he had employees. They showed the photos of different employees working there. And I only saw one black man and one black woman. Out of all of the employees, maybe there's more. There's no older person I saw work for him. Ashish. So I got a problem with that. He had on a suit that looked cheap. The day before, he had on the same purple suit. I think that if you're paying the type of money that he gets to do his show, he should be in a different suit every night. Practically, it doesn't mean that he can't wear this again maybe 5 weeks from now. Sheesh. Or 2 months from now, if he was still doing the show. But to do it night after night, it's like he's wearing a uniform and he's working at McDonald's or Popeyes. Hello. His heart wasn't in it. He didn't give a doggone to give you a good show, to put on a good show. And nobody understand that. Matter of fact, it's a cheap looking suit. I had a red look better than that 50 years ago. Sheesh. Had a belt in the back, double breasted. Do you hear me? Hello. And he got way more money than I had. I was just a kid. But that was his show, and there was no black guest on his show for the last two shows. As far as I saw, he had Tom Cruise and this and that. But where was the Denzel Washingtons and Forrest Whitakers and the Samuel Jacksons and the Don Cheadles, you know? Where were the people like the Janet Jacksons and the Mariah Careys, hello, the Cardi B's, people that made name for him that he did not even mention because he didn't get a rat's behind about them. He wanted to use because they were hot at a particular time. And because of me, one reason, I never asked him to be a guest on the show. You know, I did that with Letterman. Every night I wrote Letterman's manager and asked to be on his last show during the last month or so of his show. Never heard back. I didn't do that for James Corden. Didn't give a rat's behind about being on the show. That probably should have been mine in the beginning. And I would not have been talking the anti-American talk. And he had more British people on this week. You know, it's just like nepoism, nepo babies. It just wasn't related to him through blood. He didn't give a rat's behind about Americans. But America's crying and falling all out because he's gone. Hello. The same thing with Trevor Noah. Now we see the same thing happen to Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon. They're gone. You know, something came to my mind. I tell you, these things come to my mind, and I think and I've thought about all of the hosts, and I spoke about it before in a way, all of the white male hosts of late night TV together. They showed on the news that happened while I was in, that Gordon did a parody that he was asleep and he woke up, and at his bedside were Steph, Myers was Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Kimmel. And he wanted to know, what did they all want? And of course, they car karaoke. And of course, that's the joke. He didn't ask any black person to come up, what do you want? That would be good to have somebody come up like Arsenio Hall and say, well, what do you want? Since you gone, I guess it's mine now. Since you happy, are you sure you're gone now? Or you just taking a hiatus? You know, you white folks like to use the big words. So you used the word hiatus. Are you going to come back on me once I get comfortable in the seat? See, that would have been more hilarious than anything. But he never did anything for people of color, but used us. I think his band was mediocre. It wasn't really almost like a little music group that's playing at a party more than playing for a major television program. It's not like Doc Severstein and his orchestra. Ashish. His people that he had on as his sidekicks, I couldn't get in with none of them, such as the vice president. What vice president from CBS got time to sit at a James Gordon show every night? And why? Did you think that he needed to be watched every night? I mean, if you could tell me another like that, please do. I've never seen it. Never heard of it. It probably will not be done again. And if the vice president is sitting in my audience every night, I want to know why. Eventually, I'm going to HR. Because I call it stalking and I call it harassment. You don't need to be watching me. What are you watching me for? Are you looking at my behind? What do you want? You can watch the show from your bed just like everybody else. If you can't tell me what you want today, you sure don't need to tell me during the night. Hello. I tell you, you hear, see, good doctors, you're hearing things that you don't hear from anywhere else, but this makes good sense. Good common sense. But that supposed to be a comedy routine because he wasn't that great of a comic or an entertainer. So they had to use a vice president sitting there to add to the yuck-yucks and the chuckles. He didn't have the good jokes to tell. All he know how to say was, roll the title. And so they roll the title. So we get down to the meat and the potatoes of Brother Springer dying. You know, I talked about Brother Springer when Springer retired and Maury Povich retired. And I said that I disliked both of them immensely. I never cared for the shows. When both of those shows came on the air, they first of all were advocates for good shows and good entertainment, wholesome entertainment. Then they saw that it was money and showing black folks as fools, women as being hoes. Do you get me? That the poor was ridiculous and they winos and smoke a lot of dope. But did they get an education and go to school? Like the good doctor and intern, they're learning. But that's what he wanted to show the American people. And then he saw that as money and showed the opposite. Little girls that should have been in school sitting there with their legs gapped open with a circle around their leg because you can look up their dress, which I consider child pornography. Still, dude, the only one that's calling it what it is, child pornography. Show after show after show. I mean, one time it may be an accident, but when it happened three or four times with different women on the same show, every week, every show for the week, for the month, for the years you're on, and Springer was on, what, close to 37 years? 37 years of crap, of destroying the minds of men and women and children of the world. You hear people say, well, I was supposed to go to school, but I finished and I was sick so I could stay at home and watch Jerry. I love school. I didn't like Jerry. And so I wanted to go to school. They wanted to stay and watch Jerry. Why? Because Jerry got to the point he had women on there. They're fighting in the street over somebody that doesn't mean anything, or a man dressed like a woman fighting because she told the man, I'm really a man. I'm not a woman. Now, this is supposed to be the same thing that they support gay rights. Well, you're just making a fool out of gay rights as far as I'm concerned. And that's show after show after show. So black, like I said, the black woman on the show got the tearaway away dresses, got the stocking caps on their head with the wigs so that could be jerked off. And they give one woman a cup of water. You know, usually when you go to a talk show, you sit down and there's a mug with the show name on it. And some people collect them from the different shows that are going on. But when the Springer show first went on, people sat down. Then it got to the point that he wanted to save money and time. He didn't let the Negroes and the Hispanic people sit down. They had to stand up and laugh at his stale jokes. And let Steve grab hold of the women and hold the women and all this, like holding them back and all that crap, you know. But what he did was he replaced the mug with a plastic cup full of water. Most places put some spirit in there for maybe an adult guest, soft drink, or whatever you wanted to drink. That's what they provided for you. Provide just water. Why? To throw in the other person's face. So it became a prop. It became a movie prop. And when I pointed out all these things to people, that Jerry Springer, who started out, Al Sharpton started out with James Brown, putting the cape around James Brown's shoulders. Well, Jerry started out as an aide for Robert Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, Attorney General Kennedy, and so forth. And he started out with the Kennedy, the Klan. I would love to see the times that he was around the family and some of the pictures of him. And maybe, I don't know if he was there during the time of John, but he was there with Robert. And name dropping, he did not care for what he was doing. Hell, Robert Kennedy probably didn't care that much about what he was doing. Or Jack, about black rights, during the civil rights movement. LBJ got into it a little bit more deeper. Kennedy got in it to save face. But Springer knew the Kennedys. Jackie Kennedy. Just like Princess Diana. Or Meghan Markle. Hello. Or Kate. Hello. Sheesh. They were the people of the era. The jet setters. As they called it during that time period. So we don't know what he did in the civil rights movement. They never said one thing that he did to help anybody. Talking about Springer, during this time with Kennedy, during this time probably being around Martin Luther King, nothing. They don't say that he did one thing, proposed anything, but his knowledge of being around Kennedy, just like Al did with being around James Brown, and he used it for his own good. Al used it not only for his good, but good of everybody else. Jerry went in to become the mayor of Cincinnati. Sheesh. Now, as the mayor of Cincinnati, what good did he do? I have not heard one thing that he did, one thing that he proposed. They have not interviewed any citizens of Cincinnati that said Jerry Springer was a good mayor. And he ran for governor and lost. So then he went into news because he knew probably he was done with politics. Things that said and bridges burned and so forth. And he got into politics. And for politics, he got into the field of, you could say, entertainment through news. I think he said that the show, Jerry Springer show, was supposed to be so like 6 weeks, six shows, and that was it. Well, he came on and he's a good communicator. I won't say that lied. He was a good communicator from the standpoint of knowing how to talk, voice and so forth, diction. Present, poise. But then he lost it there because he became, as all the rest of them did, money grabbing and fame grabbing. So they put on shows that were counterproductive. And I said last year and early this year that when he gets talking about quitting, Springer and Maury Povich, how bad they were to the moral compass of this country and to this world. Nobody else agreed with me. They went on all the talk shows and so forth, like The View and so, and they all kissed it behind. Oh, I hate to see you go, Jerry. Oh, I hate to see you go, Maury. Oh, I'm saying, I'd be sitting there rolling my eyes and my teeth if it was me. And he would know that I'm going to ask him some hard-ass questions if he come on my show. If he come on the Larry Lamont show, we're going to keep it 100, as they say in the street. So, they go and kiss his behind, saying, oh, Jerry, oh, so I hate to see you go, Jerry. No hard questions about what he did. Oh, you hate me. Not that the entertainment came from having poor black people and having people that you know were addicts. You could tell something came on stage high as a Georgia Pine. Drunk, high on dope. The Springer even had to try to get them under control because he knew that everybody knew this sucker is high. This sucker is effed up. But that's what he was paying them for. He paid poor people to come on the show and act a fool so he could be a rich white man. See, he had no love for them. He had no love for me. He would do that to my daughter, to my sister, to my mother. He didn't care, but he's a good man, they tell you. Oh, Jerry, we so hate to see you go. You know, like always, like want to spit on somebody's grave, spit on the ground. That's me. I want to spit on the ground. You tell me that he's dead. I told you that I should tell Dad that a famous person, especially a lot of time, white person dead. He said, what you telling me for? That made him more mad. He said, if you told him that I died, he'd cuss you out. Did that be true? If you told Jerry Springer that I had died, if I died before he did, that the good doctor couldn't save me, and I passed away, Jerry Springer said, okay, now what you want me to do? So I want to know, what do you want me to do that Springer is dead? James Gordon is gone. Trevor Noah is gone. Don Lemon is gone. Tucker Carlson is gone. So I'm just like the ghost of the white male TV host, late night host, around the bed of Gordon. What can I get? Can I get one of y'all? Yes. At least. Can I at least audition? The way I hear that these guys don't even have to audition. They're just given. What should have went to an American? James Gordon should never have been given a show. Trevor Noah should have never been given. Trevor Noah said that he was on a tour, I think, at the studio, and was given the show. Why? How many black people have put in applications every year there, never was given an interview? This foreigner come in on a tour, 3-hour tour, or if it's that, and you say, you got the job, and you're going to make $20 million a year. Ain't this a beat? And sheesh. See, we get down deep, Doctor, on the Hustler of the Minds. We tell it like it is. We don't try to sugarcoat it or to gloss it over and make you feel good about yourself or anybody else feel good about yourself. You might like what I'm saying. You might say, go ahead, give him hell, Mr. Larry. Give him both barrels and give him double dose. We going to do that, you know. I'm not glad that Jerry Springer is dead. One or the other. But like I could do just like a good Jewish mother. I could spit on the ground. And you want to know the truth about it? That's what I think about the man. Ain't no love lost. My father was just a Pullman porter. And he did more for humanity and more for his people than Jerry Springer ever did. The most he made when he retired was 7 cents an hour after working for over 50 years for the same company, the Pullman Company, as a Pullman porter. Where, as I said, he was the best porter sometime in the whole company. He carried even people like President Franklin Roosevelt, FDR. But you don't want to know his record. We hear the record of Jerry Springer. They'll do all kind of documentaries now on Jerry Springer, trying to get you to kiss his behind in death. He found out that he had pancreatic cancer, supposedly just a few weeks ago, and he passed away. Did he already know that? Was he feeling the pains and suffering from that? It didn't just hit him all of a sudden and say, okay, you dead. He had to have had symptoms, and I know he know how to Google, just like I did mine. I even predicted what the doctor was going to do with the treatment. I told myself, well, I Googled and it said so and so and so and so. And that's exactly what's happening. So I guess Ms. could be a doctor too, right? Sheesh. So he could have Googled and found out what were the symptoms that he had, probably what it was, and then eliminate certain things. So he knew that he didn't have that much time left. He came on the internet not too long ago. I just saw one post that he said everything that I said. He said he wanted to apologize. This is Jerry Springer. For what he did to the moral compass of this country and to the people. And the moral decline. That's what it said in the article. Don't know if it's a lie. I only saw that one article. But he said he apologized. That was the same thing I said. People did for what I said, and this, and the man that I said it about agreed with it. He said that, yes, he was guilty. He should not have done the things that he done. And he knows that. That he knows that this young man who is the spy, stole all the papers, the Donald Trumps, on and on, how many of them were influenced by shows and people like Jerry Springer and a country like Jerry Springer, the people that shooting people at coming to the door and the ball rolling in the yard, how many are affected by the Jerry Springers? They'll find out that Mr. Larry tried to tell you the facts, but you don't want the facts. Want to know the truth. So I should have been sitting in that desk for those 8 years. If that's all I had was 8 years that they're going to give me, the company, or God was going to allow me to live. And I would have ended up with the pancreatic cancer instead of Jerry. What could I have done for humanity by putting on good shows? You know, Jerry called himself the Ringmaster. And he wrote a book by the same name. That was the only book I can remember buying brand new. Because I used to get books, you know, at secondhand stores and stuff like that. Really. I'm not going to pay nobody $50, $40 for their book. That eventually you can buy and get it to Goodwill, the Salvation Army, for $2.99. A sheesh. So I bought Jerry Springer's book called Ringmaster. And I was not disappointed. He stated in there the same thing that we talked about tonight. That the guests come on this show drunk, high, and how many of them are paid to fight, fake fight? They even travel to the show together in the same car on the same airplane. And said the ones that want to get out of it, Jerry Company tell them if you get out of it, you will be sued. See, they don't tell you about the good Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer said that you decide, well, no, I don't want to show my behind. I don't want my grip to be up over my head trying to kick at some other woman, you know, that's my friend or my sister. No, I don't want to do that, but I got to do it because I signed the contract. He don't do it. He don't have his daughter and his sister or mother doing it, but I got to do it. Can't get out of it. And so he admits that, and he has said so, that most of the show was scripted, as they call it. Meant they told the Negroes and the Hispanics, poor folks, poor white folks also, what to do and what to say. And so I don't mourn Jerry Springer. I don't mourn James Colbert going back to Great Britain. Trevor Noah going back home. Sheesh. And the rest of them talk about quitting Jimmy Fallon and so forth. Talking about maybe give it up to Ghost and Colbert and so forth. You're still not going to give it to me. You're not going to give it to anybody that looks like me. They've given more positions to black women. Talk. The reason why, most of them get white men. And sheesh. Do you hear Mr. Larry preaching to you now? I told you I'm going to lay down the smack. I'm going to give you a double dose of justice and truth. You might not be able to handle the truth. So do you want it? Do you really want to hear the truth? Well, I'm going to tell it to you tonight. This night. You won't be disappointed. And if you come back on our next show on Monday, you know, it's Flashback Friday. And I like the good doctor to know that Flashback Friday is a term I created. Most of the things you see in the internet, Mr. Larry created. And that's not just stupid talk. That's facts that can't be documented. I own the rights to Flashback Friday. And Fadeback Friday. That's mine. So I paid for it. When I made it up. I made a term such as dramedy, which is a combination of drama and comedy. Because most of the comedies now aren't like the comedies we had 50 years ago, like Good Times. And That's My Mama. Weren't that complicated to understand. Alice or All in the Family. Three's Company. Friends. Whether you like it or not, they were easy to understand. Now you got the complicated series. They want you to think, but think like they want you to think. Not to laugh at a joke that everybody knows is funny or a situation that people can see is funny and fall out laughing simply because you see it coming, but because you told a laugh at most of these shows. Well, I'm not one that liked that, so I came up and cooked up the term dramedy. The Boston Marathon Massacre, they said Boston Strong. That came for me when I said Boston Strong. And everything is Boston Strong, Philadelphia Strong, whatever Strong. You see it now. They all say, that's simple one or two words Mr. Larry can say, and the whole world listens. Like I said, when Mr. Larry talks, the whole world listens. Sheesh. Whether in the White House or the Pope or the Dalai Lama, they all listen. You better believe all the people we talked about tonight listen to Mr. Larry. That's why Jerry Springer came back to apologize. I put on him so heavy talking about him that he had to come back and he said, you know what? I was a stinker. I did do some bad things. And he said in the interviews I saw that maybe that would get him into heaven. At the end of each show, he says, be kind to each other. He thinks that's going to get him in the pearly gates. That Gabriel is going to start blowing his horn. That they're going to start singing hallelujah. It's Brother Jerry. He's at the door. Let him on in. And sheesh. He might have had a rude awakening when he woke up. And he wasn't at the right place that he thought he was going to end up at. 37 years of living a life that he lived. One day of realization that you was a stinker for 37 years. Ain't going to get you into heaven. As far as I know. You might profess that you apologize. And I'm sorry. And I really didn't mean it. And I know that I was wrong. And if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't do it over again. Yeah, you would. But that's what you try to bullshit Jesus and God, just like you did the networks, the sponsors, and the viewers. the young children that should have been at school learning, playing hooky to see what Jerry's doing, Amore doing. They didn't see what Mr. Larry did. You know, I remember even Montel Williams, he came on some of those talk shows. And when he started out, he had on his naval officer uniform, he and his partner. I said, now how long would that last? How long would that last? He'd come up there and do a snappy salute before he'd be kissing they behind and doing the same thing. And that's what happened. Now you don't hear from him anymore. Why wasn't he included, like I said, with Arsenio, with that group at James Colbert bed saying, can I get, karaoke? He might have been able to put together a consortium of Tyler Perry, Denzel Washington, and others that got money and outbid those others and said, here it is. It's mine now. Ashish. But you never give us the opportunity. They even took the sledgehammer and broke the desk. Nobody will occupy that seat again. Why not? If you thought that it needed to be occupied for 8 years, because he decided to go back to Great Britain, or that's what he said, the lie he said, why do you think that I can't come and occupy it for 8 hours to do one show? You want to give me one opportunity to show you what I can do. That's why I said to the good doctors, yes, I always was told I had a beautiful voice. But when you got a gift and you never have an opportunity to use it, and it's not through anything of your own, could have been that I was a drunk, could have been I was a meth head, could have been I stayed in jail. None of those things were true. The things were I was applying for jobs. I was knocking on doors. Now I told you I applied at the police department for 40 years, every year. Until I know I'm too damn old for the excuse me, doctors. Never heard Mr. Larry. But I know I'm too old for that. And I said, I just know that I'm not going to put your life in jeopardy for my ego. I'm trying to, with a cane, I don't walk with a cane. Walk with a cane or a walker with a pistol. Halt, I'll shoot. I don't know. I'm not going to do that to you or to myself. I've lost a step in 40 years. Not much. I bet I could still beat you on a basketball court. Ashish. But Miss Larry is here to tell you the facts. And I'm sorry that Brother Springer has passed away. I'm sorry that he probably died in pain and suffering. But I still sit on his grave. You don't do me wrong for 37 years. I got too much of my mother in me. Miss Josie in me. I got too much Miss Joseph. You don't do me wrong. I told you how the guy coming in, he thought he going to do my mother in our house. And she told him to get your so-so up and get out of here. And sheesh. You don't do her baby that way. That's why I came and got powerful and run for the office and did the things that I did. Because I'm not no wussy. I'm not no wimp. I'm not no punk. So you go and you put in an application for the job and they tell you the same. You got a beautiful voice. But then you look and see that the job go to a white guy like they did me. You know, I told you about I was on that program and I just happened to listen to the radio and noon heard it, talk show. And the moderators be saying, call up if you want to talk. Well, it's an hour show. Nobody call up. They're playing records. They're like a DJ. So I ended up calling up, talking, saying the same thing I'm talking about now. Talking about Jerry Springer, talking about Maury Povich, talking about whatever, talking about going back to the moon. Ashish. And then other people start calling in. And they say, I heard that color boy, and I wanted to talk and say, he know what he's talking about. Or he don't know what he's talking about. But it got people interested that at 12 noon, I can go any place in the county, and the program was on. And you go to the sheriff's department, the program is on. You go to the judge's office, the program is on. You go to the mayor's office, the program is on. You go to the doctor's office, the program is on. So they fired this white guy that was moderator when he said something smart to me. But then they brought in another white guy. And I thought we were going to be like a team. They were going to probably hire me on too. He's the only one got paid, but they still expected me to call up and be the show. The colored boy. Not the black employee. Not the black host. And this white guy just retired, I think, after 45 years, I believe now, on the show. And he had a list of all the things he did in the area. That's the first thing. You know that he didn't have that on the list? Why? Because it would make me look good. That he came for that. He just that crooked. And he was glad when I called up. Oh, that's where, what's his name? Stan Lee came in and I called up to the program. He said, yes, we know him very well. Yes, this is one of our regular callers. And I asked him right in front of all the town folks about stealing the Black Panther. So you know I'm not lying, folks. So I spit on his grave also when he died. I have no love for him and what he's done to me and the positions he's held besides at the radio station, such as with the college and so forth. And he let me be kicked out and be mistreated. And I saw him and talked to him instead of consider me to be a friend and saying, I won't let them do that to you. He didn't give a damn about me. Like he didn't give a damn about the community. Or he wouldn't have lied and said he almost never existed here. Well, we are the reason why you came here to be on that program, to talk to the colored boy. Nashish. So when he go, if he go for me, I spit on his grave too. And take a little tinkle if that will help the days that grow. Hello. I'm not vindictive, but I don't kiss nobody behind. Like I said, I get that from Mama Joseph and from my father. These people don't want to respect Mr. Larry. I could make them give me the job. They gave the job to this white guy. But I asked him, I talked to him the first day he got here. Found out that he's from wherever he came from. Well, I was here for, 20 years before he got here. And still couldn't get the job. So who can replace Jerry Springer? Who can replace Maury Povich? Trevor Noah? Who's going to replace Don Lemon? Who's going to replace Tucker Carlson, pardon me. Who's going to replace James Gordon? Not a black person. Especially if you're not an Uncle Tom. I know the doctor said, ooh! Lord, he talks like that? Ooh! Hand over his mouth. Oh my God. Clutching his pearls. Oh no. I got a good sense of humor. Now see, that's funny. That's comedy. On the spot comedy. That's funny. And it's clean comedy. Ain't hurt nobody. You just laugh. Oh Lord have mercy. It's a crazy tale. It's crazy tale. So the good doctor say I should live. I should be all right. Got some things we're working on. But the situation is, I'll wait till he come on and we can talk about that then. That is, if he comes home. He says he'd be glad to be a guest. I hope he likes what he hears. I hope that the young intern likes what he hears. And tell other people about the show. Or tell the whole hospital. Wouldn't that be something? The whole hospital there listening, just like I said years ago, listen to the House of Learning Minds, just like they used to listen to the other radio program. Maybe they want to become a patron. Say, well, I can afford to donate $20 a month, $10 a month, $100 a month, $500 a month. What I can do for equipment and so forth that I can't afford myself, to come out of the pocket of a poor man that was never allowed to do no more than my father. My father just made 7 cents an hour. I didn't do much better than he did. But I'm cutting up now because they still can't keep me quiet. Sheesh. The good Lord looks out for his own. You know, I told you I was cooking some chicken legs the other day. I told you I was going to cook 3 chicken legs. I went in there and counted them. I counted 7 chicken legs. And sheesh. Oh, yes. I wish I had to count from, you know, Sesame Street. Ha, 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 ha. 7? Chicken legs. Boom. Thunder. Yeah. 7 chicken legs. And I cut up. The good Lord take care of his own. So like I said, Brother Springer simply saying at the end of the show, I think simply by saying that might help me get into heaven. It might. I'm not going to put you to heaven and I can't keep you out. But if I have to say what I know about my Lord, he knows a con man when he sees one. He knows a ringmaster when he sees one. A ringmaster wants to pull the wool over your eyes. He wants you to have to see a guy that's in the midway doing all the con games. You will never knock over the bottles with the ball. No matter if you Nolan Ryan, Bob Gibson, you ain't knocking them damn milk bottles over unless you do it a certain way. That's con games. The shell game. Okay, now guess what shell that the marble's under. And you are not going to guess because he's palming the marble. And put it under which shell he wants to put it under. Ah, you missed it. Or you got it that time. Let's go double for nothing. Your foolish self just won instead of walking off with your winnings. Okay. Then you lose everything. Including all the money that you had to buy your date, the hot dog or whatever. Well, Mr. Larry is about ready to get up and get out of here. Like I said, you're listening to the House of Larry Lamont's. Well, you're always going to double help in the justice and truth. We're about ready to get up and get out of here for one more time. And we'll see you on Monday. You listen to the House of Larry Lamont's when you get a double help of the justice and truth. We're glad to have our guests with us tonight if they decided to grace us with their presence. If not, maybe they'll drop in another time. Or maybe they want to come back. You're always welcome. The mat's always open. Sheesh.